From the healing heart of Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland comes the Dr. Nina Show with a message of hope for people struggling with binge eating. She helps listeners break free from emotional eating by identifying their hidden triggers and provides a path for healing without dieting or focusing on food. Dr. Nina inspires us to enjoy the full spectrum of human experience we all deserve to live.
Hey there, welcome to the Dr. Nina Show. I am your host, Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland, and I am here to help you break free from body shame, binging, and diets that don't work. I want you to wake up and think about your day, not your diet. So today, I have an amazing guest. So many of you know, or maybe you don't, if you're new to the show, that I did a TEDx. I did a TEDx talk about a month ago, and while I was at that TEDx, one of the other speakers, the student speaker, was so fabulous, I had to have her on the show. Like about 30 seconds into her speech, I was like, she's got to come on my show. So let me just dive right in, tell you about Roni. Roni Manor is a third-year economics student. Are you just about ready to be a fourth year student, actually?
No, not at all.
Are you just becoming a third year? Amazing. So young, and yet you've done so much. Okay. She is at UCSB, where the TEDx talk was, and her passion is to make the world a better place. And this has motivated her choices throughout her young life. She gave her first TEDx talk at 14 years old, talking about the impact of bullying. And she has spent most of her life trying to encourage others to learn to love and take care of themselves. At 17, she spoke for a second time on the TEDx stage on the harmful effects of social media. And finally, with her third TEDx talk, where we met, she talked on the social harm that stems from fat phobia, which is what we're going to talk about today, that and more, and the steps of healing from systemic bias. She works hard as a writer, a motivational speaker, and a self-proclaimed board game champion. Ooh. Roni aims to spread education and positivity to everyone she touches. So welcome, Roni.
Hi, Nina. It's so good. I'm so happy to be here, and I'm so happy to see you again. You were right. When we met, as soon as I saw your speech as well, I was kind of like, oh my God, she's so cool. I started totally fangirling, so I'm so happy to be here.
Okay, well, it's mutual, because I'm your fangirl too. So welcome, welcome. I'm so glad we made this happen. I actually think the best thing to do is for you to just, I said 30 seconds into your speech, I was like, oh, yeah. So I think the best thing for us to do is for you to just give a little bit, like, of the first couple paragraphs of your talk so that everyone will get what I'm talking about, and then we'll dive in. I'm sure people will have questions. We're also live on Instagram, and the call-in number, if anyone wants to call in, the call-in number is 323-203-0815. So without further ado, Roni, please give your opening to your talk.
Okay. I want to talk about the F word. In fact, not only do I want to talk about the F word, I'm going to say it repeatedly. That hushed, inappropriate word that we have given so much power to, and avoid saying at the risk of offending someone. And if you say it, you will. We, of course, are here to talk about fat, and more importantly, the moral ideology over the discourse of being fat. What would you tell me if I called myself fat right in front of you? Not being self-deprecating and not putting myself down, but just being honest. Would you stand there furiously trying to convince me that I'm not fat, telling me over and over again how I'm just curvy? Or would you stiffen up, avoid eye contact with me, or the subject entirely, chubby, or any other variation? You're talking about it.
Yes. You see, listeners, you see why I had to have her on the show. Amazing. Yes. And then, of course, let's talk about you personally and how your journey of how you came to this, taking this stance and wanting to really raise awareness in the world about this topic.
Yeah. So as I mentioned in my speech, I've been a fat woman pretty much all my life, since puberty, since I started gaining weight and not being able to lose it. And I, you know, through the course, I'm only 21. So through the course of my 21 years, I faced about 11 years of just stigma all the time. And I just noticed these little things that, you know, you never really notice in your day to day unless you're looking for them. And I started to take notice of these things a couple of years ago, about 4 years, 5 years ago, I started doing research on this topic. And I realized how much this world was not meant for a fat body, and how in society, we don't have space for people in bigger bodies, and we don't want them to have space either. And I noticed it in little things, in conversational tidbits, where we would slip into how much we hate ourselves and we hate our bodies, and we're only happier when we're smaller. And I'd notice it in when we read articles about fat people going on planes and needing an extra seat and how much we shame people. And then I noticed it in the entertainment industry, how never in my entire life had there ever been a character that looked like me, ever. Because I was either, you either had to be a size 24 or you had to be a size 2. And there was no in between. You couldn't be in between. You couldn't be a mid-sized body, especially in the United States, where mid-sized is big. Like, how are we not talking about this? How is everyone not yelling that we're torturing these people? And that's where it came from.
It's interesting. I read once that Marilyn Monroe would have been a size 12 and therefore considered plus size in our society today, which is hyper fixated on the smallness of women's bodies and actually wanting women to look more like girls, I think.
You know, in which you look at pictures of her, and that is not what a plus size woman looks like. She barely even looks big enough to exist. Like, she takes up a normal, healthy, beautiful amount of space, and you don't, it just doesn't, it doesn't make sense that we're placing this idea onto anyone, especially because we have her label, Marilyn Monroe label, and yet it means nothing. It means nothing.
Yep. She was considered the sexiest woman alive in the 50s and 60s, and today she would be considered too big.
Yeah.
Which just so shows how much this is also a cultural construct.
Oh, yeah. And it's so new. It's so new. It's within the last 70 years that we've invented this idea. This wasn't always here. And anthropologically, it doesn't make sense that we shave bigger bodies. So it's just ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. And one of the things that I think the point that you make, the major point of your talk, is the morality that we have then attached to being thin, and that somehow you lack morals, or you're greedy, or there's something wrong with you. It's just not acceptable. Where we is with anorexia, we say, oh, that poor thing. If someone is struggling with drugs, oh, they're really struggling. Let's help them. But if someone is struggling with food, or if someone is bigger, and you also make the point that not everyone who is bigger than size two is bigger because they are out of control with food. So I just covered a lot in that statement. Let's break it down and start with, there are many reasons why people are heavier, and they don't all have binge eating disorder.
Yeah. And I mean, we've kind of decided within recent medical history that the only reason you have for being fat, the only reason is that you can't control your eating. It's diet and exercise. And we've kind of preached this mentality that diet and exercise are the only factors that can control your weight, and not factors like genetic fatness, where if you are predisposed to genetic fatness, you likely will be fat and you will not have control over it. Factors like thyroid issues that can cause life-threatening problems and symptoms. Things like medications like ADHD medication can cause weight gain. Things like antidepressants can cause weight gain, which I would state are very important and very necessary things that you're not going to be able to cut out of your life because of the desire to lose weight. Things like PCOS, which we have close to none, no research on, because it's such a newfound and new focused topic. So there's so many factors that contribute to weight gain and weight loss that we kind of ignore because they're technical and they're medical and they're ugly. They're ugly. We don't want to talk about how mental health impacts weight gain because it's a lot flashier and a lot easier to sell the idea of just lose weight easily by being in a calorie deficit and exercising more, which is bullshit.
Well, but you know, we have a $60 billion diet industry that is completely predicated on us feeling bad about our bodies and trying this new diet and that new diet. And, oh, let's repackage sleeping and not eating and call it fasting. You know, like all of this, it's all motivated by money. I just want to go back to PCOS because some people, as to your point, don't know what that is. They may in fact be struggling with it and not even realize it. So can you speak a little bit about that? I know that is something that you is close to your heart. So
yeah, so PCOS stands for polycystic ovary syndrome. It is a incurable chronic condition that targets your ovaries and will cause horrible, painful side effects, including irreversible infertility, can cause type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, extreme pain, insomnia, nausea, in excessive hair growth. It can also cause you to gain a lot of weight and be unable to lose it. And this is a super under researched condition. It is currently incurable because we frankly haven't put enough time in to find a cure for it. And this is something that we think up to, you know, 1 in 5 women could be suffering from, which is a terrifying number, a terrifying, terrifying number. And frankly, we don't have a lot of diagnoses that occur as well because it's so underrepresented in the media and people just don't know about it and people don't know to ask about it. And when I began research on uncontrollable weight gain and what that looks like, I found PCOS and I received my PCOS diagnosis months after beginning to research this topic, but research in the first place, suffering from uncontrollable weight gain and all the other symptoms of this condition, nobody bat an eye. It was so clear that because obesity and diabetes ran in my family, it was obvious that I was obese and it was obvious that I was pre-diabetic and became diabetic. Nobody thought to bat an eye, and that's so sad. It's so embarrassing.
It's also interesting how nobody asks, did anyone say, well, what do you eat in a day? Or tell me about your eating habits or anything like that.
The doctors would assume that I wasn't doing something correctly. They assumed I wasn't exercising. They assumed that I was eating horribly. And when I would mention things like, oh, I actually go to the gym most days. I'm actually very active. I enjoy working out. They would be like, oh, okay, cool. Keep doing that. And I'm like, thank you. But maybe you should have asked me if I'm active or if I, the most important thing to learn is that most of the time it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you say and it doesn't matter what you do. Ultimately, the shape of your body will dictate how these people look at you and what they think you're doing with your body, which is embarrassing and sad and wrong.
Yes, and on a whole other topic, there's a huge issue with people who go to the doctor because they have various complaints, and if they are overweight at all, the doctor will make the assumption that it is because of weight, and they will not actually look at other reasons why that person is struggling with knee issues or back issues or really anything else, and it's horrific.
And it's like, it's also just showing further how much this is not a medical issue, that we have an issue of overwhelming obesity and uncontrollable weight gain. We have these medical issues in society and they are true, real medical issues. Having chronic obesity across an entire nation is an issue, especially when we're not treating the underlying conditions that are causing it. But we've taken this and we've created this idea that it's due to a moral failing, that we have failed as people and that's why we're fat. And that's why we have obesity in the United States, which is wrong. And that's one of the many reasons that we have such horrible mistreatment of fat people around the world, but also in the US.
So let's talk about morality and about how this is the one condition, if we call it a condition, or we'll call it a condition just for the purposes of this conversation, it's the one place where you, the assumption is of moral failing rather than something's going on. Whether someone is overweight because, or I'll say the F word, fat, because of, they have binge eating disorder. It doesn't matter. There's still the assumption that this is some kind of moral failing on their part. Can you speak to that?
I think the most important thing to mention here is that somehow we don't believe that there is a difference between somebody who is fat because they ate too much, they gained some weight, maybe now they're fat, and someone who has a medical diagnosis of uncontrollable weight gain. We don't think there is a difference between these people. We think that these people are gluttonous, and we think they're selfish, and we think they're gross. Most importantly, we think they are gross. We are disgusted. The frequent behavior that we're noticing with fat phobia is disgust. We truly think that somebody who is fat cannot control themselves, which is when you have factors such as PCOS and binge eating, and not to mention so many eating disorders, that's not how we reach that.
Even if you can't control yourself because you have binge eating disorder, right, which is actually not about food, but that it's not an issue of morality.
It's not. It's really not. And we see these disorders, including binge eating disorder. And we see all these eating disorders, and we know that they're not just about food. And we know that it involves relationships with ourselves and relationships with other people and our mental health and all of that. And we don't treat anorexia like that. We don't treat bulimia like that. Like, it's just about food and it's just about controlling yourself, because we know it's more than that. We know it's an emotional, it's a mental issue. And, you know, fat equals bad and skinny equals good. And if you're fat for whatever reason, clearly you are doing something wrong on purpose to hurt yourself because you are disgusting. And there's no in between. There's no room to just exist and eat a cheeseburger because you want one. And if you're fat but you're eating a salad, you're still wrong, because now you're just trying to correct the mistakes you've made in the past, because that's how that works.
I just have to quote from actually from your talk, because I think it's so beautifully and succinctly states the problem, which is we've begun looking past the person and began looking at fat people as objects, as people too gluttonous to be able to take care of themselves, which is important to note, because as a society, we tend to practice. We never apply the practice to the mental strength or value of the person.
It's true. And the biggest example that I give in my talk is about smoking. We've seen in the last 60 years, the medical studies have shown us repeatedly how terrible smoking is for your body, and how direct links show that smoking will cause you side effects that can include lung cancer, which is so painful and deadly and frankly, preventable from not smoking. And yet we have industries like the vaping industry that are so new and so popular. We've seen an all-time high of a smoking population within vaping young adults. And we see that we don't treat students who vape the same way as we treat fat people, because we treat the practice as being gross, but we don't treat the person as being gross. It's disgusting. And yet when we look at fat people, we're assuming that they are disgusting because of their eating habits and because of the shape of their bodies.
And that is such a profound and just nauseating realization that we have demonized people who are fat for whatever reason, but we have demonized the behavior of every other deleterious kind of addiction,
and we've demonized eating because of it, because we've begun associating anything with being fat as bad. We have begun associating unhealthy food or anything that can contribute to fatness as bad, as morally wrong, as being bad for eating French fries. We are bad for wanting ice cream. You know, we know we want these foods, and we also now know mentally why we want many of these foods a lot of times. So when you're looking at things like binge eating disorder, you're not looking at simply a food craving, and yet that's how we're treating it. We're treating it as, oh, you wanted some chocolate, so you ate an entire box of chocolate, which isn't how that works, and that's not what it really stems from. And it's not healthy. What we're doing isn't healthy, and we're not helping anyone. And we see it, you know, in these shows that we're producing, shows like Revenge Body and The Biggest Loser, where we're just starving and torturing each other. We're just doing that. We think it's funny because, oh, look, they've bettered themselves. They've lost this weight. Well, they didn't better themselves. You gave them an eating disorder. Like, you gave them an eating disorder and ruined their life and could cause irreparable damage from that fast of weight loss. You could cause irreparable damage to their heart and their bodies. So it's not easy.
Yeah. And The Biggest Loser did come to me and said and told me that, like, this person had gotten to a, like, incredible shape. And then as soon as the show was over, back to the old ways, because they never learned how to eat, how to comfort themselves, how to be with themselves. And that's why we have such a huge regain issue after weight loss surgery, because people treat the problem as if it was food, but it's food is a solution to the problem, not the problem.
And ultimately, you know, all of this talk about weight surgeries and The Biggest Loser and all that, it kind of ignores the fact that, you know, in our society, food being a social issue will never go away. Food is a social interaction in our society. We enjoy eating out. We enjoy eating. And that isn't going to be lost. And assume that you can just get rid of this social construct of eating and enjoying to go out by just losing the weight. If you just lose the weight, you won't want the food anymore. That's not true. And you're still going to go out with your friends and you're not going to order a salad every time. Or you might, because you like salad. But that's a choice, you know?
And also, we are all sizes, all colors, all heights. We, you know, and the idea that that there should be one standard that everyone should aim for, and that is right, that is the way you're supposed to look, is also absurd. Which brings me to the notion of body positivity. And by the way, I just want to say again, if anyone wants to call in, the call-in number is 323-203-0815. If you want to talk to Rhoda about it, often I have to say, oh, I just was having such a good time, like, listening. I didn't want to interrupt. But if you have any questions for Roni, 323-203-0815. Okay. Body positivity.
No.
No.
I really hate that term. I really have grown to hate it. And I've heard from multiple people talking to me about it being like, oh, so you preach body positivity. And I was like, no. No, I don't. I don't idealize a body type. I don't idealize or fetishize this idea of loving everything about yourself wholeheartedly for no reason. And I think one of the biggest problems with this movement is that we're not actually being body positive to every body. We've decided which bodies are acceptable and have begun to increase that range a little bit. Maybe that range has grown. And so anything within that reasonable range that we've decided can now be part of the body positivity movement. We can now decide that it's okay to look at. And then anything that's not in that movement, we're just going to ignore it and push it to the side. And being fat is not in that movement. We have, you know, one size 10 model in an entire campaign of body positivity to show you that, like, sure, fat people can exist in the background and we can pretend they're not there. But it's not actually a part of the movement. And the part of body positivity that we kind of ignore is the fact that you have to accept what you look like in terms of, even if you don't like it, we're going to like it for you and we're going to pretend it's good. And if you have this health issue that's harming you and including eating disorder and you've gotten your for it, and that's wrong. And that's not how we should be treating people. And it's not how we should be treating bodies. We should treat our bodies with respect. And the fact that they grow and change and there's flux and all that. But that's not. Yeah.
It makes people feel bad for all the reasons you just said. And or people will say, well, we are body positive and it'll be someone who's 100 pounds overweight. And then people will say, well, that's not healthy. You're promoting something that's unhealthy. Or people will feel bad because they want to lose weight. And then they feel bad because not only do they struggle with losing weight, but they can't accept themselves and be body positive. So now they feel doubly bad about themselves because they can't feel good about themselves as they are.
You can't live on either side of this equilibrium. Your only option is getting it right the first time, is automatically, genetically being the exact size and shape that we have decided is good and attractive. And it's, you know where it's most prevalent? I think it's most in stores and in media. Those are the two places that I'm never going to get over this. Because in shows and advertisements, when we see this body positivity movement, I remember it from Disney Channel, from my childhood, when Disney was like, we're going to be more body positive. And so in every show, there's one fat girl who is size 24, which is fine, which is great. And she's always the laughing stock. She's always the comedy bit. There's one fat comedy, fat relief character. And then everyone else is a size zero. No one who looked like me has existed ever. Ever.
Yeah. Even America Ferrara, whatever her name was, wait, she lost weight and was praised for it. I just want to say that Root in Apparel is saying, I relate to all of this. I have experienced all of this. This conversation is empowering and hard. Josh is calling. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Dr. Nina. I just wanted to say really quickly how much I enjoyed the conversation. And I was just making some comments in Instagram about how it's kind of hard to know what that, in other words, if food isn't the problem, it can be kind of difficult to know what is the problem. And I just wanted to make that comment, you know, as far as conscious versus unconscious.
Well, we're not really talking. Thank you for your comment, Josh. Today's conversation isn't really a psychoanalytically based comment. It's more of a social, cultural commentary. And I think what Roni had said earlier about there are many reasons for obesity was very cogent and important, that some people are obsessed to healthy foods or for different reasons, or they don't know what's healthy, which seems impossible in this world, but go to Disneyland and look around, see what people are eating. Huh? Some people just don't know that it's not, like, you know, maybe it's healthy to eat certain things. And some people have PCOS or another condition. Some people are just genetically born to be bigger for various reasons. And that's an important thing to note. So I think that actually Roni's already kind of covered that in a beautifully articulate way. But thank you for your comment.
Yeah, no problem. I'll just listen in. Thank you very much.
Okay. Now, speaking of health, the idea of, like, what's healthy, one of the things that people often say is, okay, caller, hold on, I'm just going to say this and then we'll get to you. Their loved ones and their friends will say, oh, but I'm just worried about your health. So hold that thought. We'll get right back to it. Welcome, caller.
Hi, my name is Regan, and I'm just enjoying this conversation. I just had a couple questions. I've experienced everything that you're talking about. From my perspective, I understand it and I have empathy, but I have a hard time being in the world with all of this knowledge, with this experience, and I'm not sure how to talk to people like you're talking about. You know, I'm just worried about your health, like having that conversation with people that haven't had the experience that I have, but don't understand what you guys are talking about. How do I talk to them? How do I, and be comfortable with that? Like, I don't know how to be in the world with what you're experiencing and wanting to change.
Hi. So, yeah. So I just want to say I completely completely empathize with what you're going through. This has happened to me my entire life. I've had to have conversations like this with family members, honestly, until now. It still happens. And unfortunately, in a bigger body, this will continue to happen probably for the rest of your life, because we have decided that you need to justify your body type if you look a certain way. And unfortunately, that responsibility has been placed on the person. And so for one, I'm so sorry you have to go through that. And one tip that I have for navigating these conversations is reminding the relationship that's happening right now. Because when I say, when they say to me, you know, I'm just looking out for your health, I want you to live a long and happy life, I typically respond with, how do you know if I'm being healthy aside from my weight? How do you know? Do you see what I'm eating 3 times a day? Are you with me when I go to the gym? What are you basing my health on outside of my weight? Because I promise you that I know myself better than you know me. And I know how I'm taking care of myself better than you know me. And I know that I am working very hard to make sure I take care of my body physically, mentally, spiritually, and in any way that could make me comfortable. And if you see something specific that might help, you're free to mention it to me, but I'm currently not looking for advice right now because I'm pretty happy with how I'm taking care of myself.
So that's wonderful. And I, yes to all of that. And I'm trying to do that. Can I ask you, when you have this conversation with people, do you feel rage inside yourself? Like, do you feel angry as you're having this conversation? Or have you explored so much that you're okay with having this conversation?
There'll always be some emotion there, because ultimately what you're hearing is a criticism and what you're hearing is judgment. Mm-hmm. So there will always be some kind of negative emotional response to hearing something like that, especially from somebody who's close to you. If this is coming from a family member or a friend, that's hard to hear. That somebody that is supposed to love you and respect you is judging you for something that you can or cannot control. So I definitely still have an emotional response, but what I try to make sure happens whenever I'm having a conversation like this is make sure that even if I'm upset, I'm not responding with anger, because ultimately I am not going to get my message across if I come off defensive, because unfortunately, again, you're on the defensive side here. They're not looking, because also the fact that they're giving you this advice is not necessarily because they want to in a way that's out of their advice. They are only hearing that they have given it. So it's your job on the defensive side there. If you want to maintain this relationship without fights and arguments, whatever, is to find a way to state, I'm not really looking for advice right now, or I don't think that would work for me, XYZ, without it coming off as defensive, because ultimately humans don't really hear defensive language very well.
Regan,
it's just hard for me to do that, but I completely, I love the conversation that you guys are having and all the things that you're talking about. So thank you guys so much.
Regan, thank you for an excellent, excellent question. I love Star Wars, the original Star Wars, one of the best movies ever. So I came up, and you know, I also love acronyms. So I came in acronym, explain or defend the I. Don't justify, explain, or defend yourself. And if, when people make those well-intentioned, really means let me just criticize you, but put on the cloak of concern. The best thing you can do is just shut it down. And then be sure not to identify with them, because it's a lot easier to say, I appreciate your concern, but I'm perfectly healthy and my health is my concern. So what are we going to do later? You know, like change the subject. It's a lot easier to do that when you are taking your own side, but when a part of you thinks they're right on some level, then it's really hard. So to challenge the part of you that might think they have is going to be really important.
That's really interesting about the identifying part, because I find myself constantly wanting to identify with other people yet the other people that I'm having these conversations with don't bother to identify with me. And so I get what you're saying, that I really need to stay with myself when having these conversations, that I'm valid in what I'm feeling and experiencing and saying. So thank you for that as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Thank you for calling in.
Okay, you guys have a great day. Thank you.
You too. Oh, these are such a great question. This idea of, oh, we're just worried about your health. It reminds me of, when I would go to the American Psychoanalytic Conference, someone would give a paper and then people would line up and supposedly they were asking questions. It was really a statement about the person's paper, and they were just showing off how smart they are.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. Oh, I'm so worried about your health. But really what I'm saying is I'm criticizing you and I'm finding fault with you. And that's easier than looking at my own life.
And ultimately I'm doing better than you. Because I have achieved what you are unable to do, which, no, you haven't. Yeah.
As if it's an achievement.
Yeah. As if it's an achievement. As if whatever your body size, you get a trophy. You know, you lost the weight, you did it. You finished. Hello. You fixed the problem. And even if you did, even if your goal to lose weight and you completed that goal, congrats to you. You completed your goal.
Okay. Yeah, and you haven't elevated yourself in morally for that. I see we have another caller. Welcome, caller.
Hi. Hello.
Hello. You're on with Roni and Dr. Nina.
Wonderful. So good to hear you. This talk is so interesting. And I'd like to thank you so much, both of you, for raising awareness to this such an important subject that not enough people are talking about. And I really believe that this is the first step to solving things. So, but I kind of wanted to ask Roni, you raised so many important issues. We can't work on all of them together. So if you had to pick one or two, what would be most important? What challenges?
I'd say if I could kind of push into the future and make sure that these messages are heard, I think the most important things that I would make sure to put out there is the idea that weight and the size of your body, regardless of what it is, skinny, big, whatever, anything in the middle, has nothing to do with who you are as a person, what your soul looks like, how you treat others, how you treat yourself. And if there is a factor, if there is something in this world that is changing the way that your body is able to function, that is not on you. And that is not a reflection of your character. And that is not a reflection of who you are. And if I could go to you and starting to gain weight, I would grab her by the shoulders and shake her until she figured that out. Until I go, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. That's your size wonderful. Is not your fault. And even if it is, so you are still you and you are still beautiful and you are still contributing to society in a way that matters in every way more than this.
And you definitely are. I mean, you did so much at such a young age, and I'm sure you'll do way more. But it's true for everyone. And what would you like to say to doctors? Because I feel that there's a real miss here. I mean, they are coming from the best intentions, but sometimes they're missing the person in front of them just because of the fat or the obesity or any other conditions, and they miss a lot of diagnostics. So what would you like to tell them? You are a person out on it.
I most closely relate to this with my diagnosis story of finding my PCOS diagnosis, especially since I began exhibiting symptoms for PCOS when I was 10 years old. And I didn't get diagnosed until I was 20. So that is 10 years of showing extreme harsh symptoms that are completely overlooked because I was fat. I'd say the biggest thing that I would say to anyone in the medical industry is listen, is start listening, start paying attention. We know now that there are more causes to fatness. We know now that there is more of a reason to being fat than just eating. And take some time. And the fact that this is such a pressing medical issue in the United States, uncontrollable weight gain and obesity are huge factors in the United States medical industry. So you gotta listen to what the root causes of this problem are so you can actually help. Because I do believe it comes from good intention. I do believe doctors want to help you when you walk in that door. But this prejudice and this bias that we have is not letting them accurately see the problems that are going on inside.
Yeah, I totally agree. I wish every doctor and nurse and health practitioner would hear you right now. I hope they all hear the Nina Show and really take it to their hearts, because I think they can change people's life for real. That's why they're there, right? So, yeah, thank you so much. This is so important. I'm enjoying this talk and will tell about it to everyone I know. Thank you.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Yes, I such wonderful calls. And even the it's not your fault implies fault. It implies that there's something wrong that you've got to explain, as opposed to like an ideal world in which we are all different and that's okay. No one is saying like everyone's got to be blonde or everyone has to have brown hair. That's the only way to be. And if you're not, there's something wrong with you. No one's saying, oh, it's not your fault that you're not brunette. It's not your fault that you're not blonde. Which sounds absurd, but somehow we make it a fault as if it's implicitly recognized as there's something wrong. And that I love that you are using your voice to create change, and you only just turned 21, like 2 weeks ago, right? Literally 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
amazing. Yeah.
The fault thing, it's so unfortunate because right now we still need it. Right now we're still in a space where we have to remind ourselves that we didn't do anything wrong by simply existing. And I wait for the day that we can acknowledge our bodies and acknowledge their needs without it being good or bad. It's just a need, because we don't do that with taking care of ourselves in any other way. Nobody blames you if you have to go take a shower. Nobody blames you if you have to cut your hair. Nobody blames you if you need to do anything else when it comes to taking care of our bodies. And if you say something like, oh, I am feeling kind of jittery from too much coffee, I'm going to go take a walk, no one's going to be like, you were an idiot for having that coffee. You should be really embarrassed with yourself. No one's doing that. We're not doing that because that's not deemed unacceptable. And one day we might get there. One day, hopefully we will get there. That's what we have to remind ourselves, that it's not your fault that you take up space. Take up space. It's yours to take.
Yes. And look at what our society is telling us as women. You take up too much space. You need to look, you need to be smaller. You need to think about your weight. Think about your weight. Don't think about weighty matters. Think about, you know, what size are you? Don't think about, you know, what's your presence in the world? What's satisfying to you? It's like this cultural zeitgeist that is turning women into girls, or keeping women as girls. And that is tragic.
Yeah. And it kind of also it just limits your interactions with the world. You know, we spend so much time focusing on this idea, and it's everywhere. You know, you can't escape it as a woman specifically. I think I mentioned the stores earlier. This is something that matters to me so much. You know, we put these labels and this idea everywhere. We put this idea of plus size somewhere as if that means something, which it doesn't, because plus size is different in every store in the United States. So it doesn't mean anything. And then we take this idea of plus size and we again have decided it's bad. And so we shove it in the back of the store and we pretend it doesn't exist. And we put it on a different rack away from the other sizes because if you're a size 14 or you're a size 2, somehow that's a difference, like that you deserve to be in a different section. And it's, again, this idea of you deserve to be here in the back instead of in the front, even though the average size for women in the United States is 16 to 18. And yet most stores, as you know, don't produce over a size 12.
Yes, you're a second class citizen if you are, if your size is something in the double digits.
And it just doesn't need to exist this way. You know, there's no need to, we spend more money to separate these sizes. You know, we spend more money on advertising and on these websites. They're putting a whole separate section called Curve, which it would be so much easier to just keep all the clothes on the same rack and just produce the same clothes. We're spending more time and more money to draw attention to the fact that you are different if you're bigger, and you're not.
Different as in less than.
Yes. And I just wish I could sometimes just like rattle people and just say, make space. They just need some space. They just need more space. Give it to them.
Well, you're rattling, you know, your voice and your passion and the truth of your message is something that people are not talking about enough and needs to be talked about and needs to be heard. And we need to really stop having such a focus on what someone's size is and focus more on who they are. There's a great book. We only have a couple minutes, so I'll make this fast. There's a great book called The Body Project. And are you familiar with The Body Project?
Yeah, I have my TBR list of fat phobia of about like 60, 70 books, and it's one of them.
Yes. And so girls used to talk about, Root in Apparel is saying taking size out of style matters. I felt so much shame shopping when I was your age. Yeah. So she followed the journals of these girls, and you know, it used to be a good person. I'm a moral person. I do the right thing. And sometime after World War II, they started writing about, oh, I hope they think I'm pretty. And as it got towards the 60s and 70s, it was, I'm going to be skinnier. I'm going to be skinnier. I'm going to be skinnier. And how sad that we have gone from, I hope people find me a good moral person, to I hope they think I'm skinny, as if that will imbue me with morality. And I think we need to go back to how it used to be. And so I so appreciate you being here and sharing your thoughts and your vision and your intensity and your passion. This has been really wonderful, and you're just going to have to come back.
I mean, if I have to, I mean, there's more to say. Ultimately, with this topic, there is always more to say.
There is always more to say. Here's my magic self, actually. I've been told it works slowly, but if it were to work right away, what would your wish be for our world?
Begin to love each other and ourselves as we believe love is not earned. Love and acceptance does not need to be earned. You deserve love just for existing. And I hope you get the space you need.
Beautifully said. Thank you, Roni. Thank you so much for being on the show and just inspiring so many people. And I mean it. I would love to have you back. We'll talk. And if anyone has any questions for Roni, you can always look at the show later. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's on my YouTube channel. It's so important. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you again. You've been wonderful. And that is, believe it or not, that is our show for today. Thank you for joining me here on the Dr. Nina Show on LA Talk Radio. I'm here every Wednesday at 11 a.m. live. Josh is saying, great show. I appreciate it very much. Josh, we appreciate your call. We appreciate you. Everyone, have a wonderful, wonderful week. I'll see you next week. Bye for now.
Did you know that dreams offer their own healing potential? Dive deep into the mystery of sleep and dreaming with four experts in sleep medicine, lucid dreaming, Tibetan dream yoga, dream theater, and more. Mention discount code DREAM for 20% off when you register for Surfing the Dreamscape and the Mystery of Sleep at Omega Institute in Rhinebeck, New York, August 19th to the 21st. Learn more at eomega.org.
Dr. Nina Show is now on the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network every Tuesday, 11 a.m. and 11 p.m. Eastern Time. From the healing heart of Dr. Nina Savelle Rockland comes a message of hope for people struggling with binge eating. She helps listeners break free from emotional eating by identifying the hidden triggers to binging and provides a path for healing without dieting or focusing on food. As she puts it, it's not what you're eating that's the real problem. It's what's eating at you. Be sure to tune in for diet-free strategies on how to outsmart emotional eating so you can stop thinking about food and start living your best and most happy life.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.